don't have to run.
All right, time now to look through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We bring in Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
Hey,
on this
Bruce.
Sunday.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're pretty good. Last night, as Pat said, there's gamesmanship with Buck Showalter. And, you know, he iced the kicker.
Yep.
He iced Bumgarner last night on and reviewing stuff that couldn't be reviewed. Really, this guy, you got to watch him all the time.
He's a smart guy. You know, he's evolved in interesting ways as a manager. You know, with the Yankees, he was so, you know, just dwelling on the minute things like, and in Texas as well. Like, are the hedges cut right in front of the stadium? That hedge looks like it used a little trimming. We got to be perfect around here. And he kind of got over that. But real smart guy. He was great on ESPN when he did Baseball Tonight with them. But you know, he'll try some stuff. And you know, I'm sure he knew Bumgarner would get a little riled, but it didn't really work.
All right, Bruce. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it feels kind of like the Giants are an aircraft carrier, and they're slowly starting to turn it around a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think, you know, it's just too many familiar faces, too much history. Mm-hmm. The health of the team is good now. I just don't see it going any other way. I mean, there's just too much talent and too much track record.
Well, Hunter Pence, if they can get him to join the party, Bruce, I think that would just stretch that lineup out a little bit. And I mean, Larry Kruger, our good friend Larry Kruger, it's been two weeks since he's been on the air, and he was suggesting maybe put him on the disabled list, send him down to AAA, send him down to the minors. I wouldn't go that far, but something just doesn't look right with Hunter Pence.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. He got clocked in the head pretty good by that ball coming off the plate onto his face. I don't know if that is bothering him more than he, you know, is indicating. I mean, it was right near the eye. I mean, it could be that he's not quite seeing the ball well, but absolutely not. You don't send him to the minors. That's ridiculous. I mean, you got to let him play out of it here. And he will. He's Hunter Pence, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Well, Larry was tweeting from Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
So
he's just eager to get back in the fight, Bruce.
we'll give him that.
Yeah.
All right. Bruce Jenkins with us. Going back to Showalter just for a second, I just want to talk about him for just a second. And the old John McGraw, you know, Muggsy McGraw, and he was the kind of, you know, manager of the Giants, you know, in the early 1900s. And, you know, he had all the tricks, you know, the old Baltimore chop where they hit the ball on the plate and they go 20 feet in the air. Maybe it's the size of Showalter, but there's something about him with the rule book, and McGraw was an amazing guy with the rule book. He looks like John McGraw to me. I mean, I think he's reincarnated.
Well, that could be. I could think of worse things. I mean, none of us really knows exactly what John McGraw was like, but I mean, he was a real fiery guy, a little bit like, you know, in the modern day, Billy Martin. I mean, Billy Martin was one of the great tricksters of all time. You know, he pulled that stunt on George Brett with the pine tar. I saw him completely bust Maury Wills one night in Seattle. Rick Lankford was pitching in. And for the A's, and Maury Wills tried to get the batter's box moved up about 2 or 3 inches. He actually had the grounds crew up there painting it closer to the mound so they'd get an edge on Lankford's sinkers. And Billy watched the whole thing. This is how brilliant he was. He watched the whole thing with his arms folded going, son of a gun, I can't believe this. And he waited until the meeting at home plate and completely busted Wills, and that hastened him out of the bigs before too long. And, you know, Billy was a guy who had, he'd have Jeff Newman at first base and a fast guy on third, maybe Ricky or Dwayne Murphy, and he'd have Newman break for second and just take a Pratt ball, just fall flat on his face. Like, what the hell? And the pitcher would go over there, boom, the runner from third scores.
I love it. I like that. I like that kind of baseball. How'd you like talking to Gaylord yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. A real privilege. You know, he's a man of great accomplishment. I love the statue. It's a good, accurate-looking thing. It's certainly a far cry from the bobblehead, which probably looks more like Morgan Freeman or something. But, those bobbleheads are an unrelenting disaster. But, I mean, you know, I was looking at his numbers while and before we talked, and I really was blown away. I mean, people think of him in a certain way, like, you know, yeah, well, he doctored up the ball and He did this and that, but his career is astounding. The strength of his arm over the years, the endurance, the longevity, 520 win seasons, and you know, don't tell me wins don't mean anything. They mean everything. He had 314 altogether. He struck out guys. He had a great ERA. Pitched at 44, you know, and had a bowed out with a complete game, for heaven's sake. You can't get a complete game out of a 21-year-old these days. Yeah, he's a good old Southern boy, too. I thought that was just great.
Yeah, and he had a little twinkle in his eye, and it was a real treat for me. I wasn't around to watch him in his heyday, Bruce, so I learned a lot. And then I get home, and I find out that they put Vaseline jars underneath all the folding chairs at the ceremony, so even he could poke a little fun at himself. I thought that was just a neat moment, neat detail, Bruce.
Yeah, really. I had a little taste of covering ball in the early 70s, but it was fleeting, and not really till the late 77, 78 that I started covering for the Chronicle, so I missed an awful lot of his career, but I did see him a lot in person at Candlestick with the Giants, and you know, Perry and Marischal was a devastating combo when they were both right.
Boy, what a day yesterday. Yeah. Very exciting day yesterday. Bruce, Vogelsong comes in tomorrow night, and you know, he was sort of the epitome of the grit of the Giants pennant-winning World Series teams in 12 and 14, and he comes in now, and he just got whacked in the eye, and he's made a miraculous comeback, and he's on the mound here tomorrow night. It's just, you know, it's the beauty of baseball.
Oh, yeah, it's very special. I mean, when he got hit, in the immediate aftermath of that, he thought he'd lost his sight. It was a really bad direct hit, and he thought, I'm gonna be blind in one eye. I mean, and this is a tough guy. I mean, he wouldn't just throw that out there. You know, you gotta even have to get him off the field, but he's back, and the whole story of his career is one of determination and coming back from, you know, against the odds and doing great things. And who knows, he might pitch seven great innings against the Giants. I'd love to see it.
Bruce, and also this week, let's just talk a little ball together for a minute. The Mets come in later in the week. The Pirates are here. I think the Cardinals are kind of falling apart with all the injuries. I think the Marlins, with all their injuries, Stanton and Conley are out now. The Rockies, I don't think are going to, you know, have any sustained power to get down the stretch here. And who knows what's going to happen with the Giants and the Dodgers. There's so many games to go. I think Pittsburgh may be better than the Mets, or maybe Mets better than Pittsburgh. Terry Collins is coming in. This now becomes an interesting week of baseball.
Oh, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, the Mets have had all kinds of troubles, and Collins kind of flew off the handle the other night with his interview where he just kind of went on a tirade for 3 minutes and bailed out of there. But, you know, it's the pressure on all these guys in New York is intense, and they haven't been living up to it. And Cespedes is out, which is a really big loss. You can't win it without him, and he's got to come back and not have any more problems with his legs. But, you know, watch a little bit of the Pirates against the Dodgers. McCutcheon started to come on a little bit. You know, they got the good outfield. That team is, they still look dangerous to me, and they've given the Giants a lot of trouble. So that's certainly no breeze. And, you know, that whole race, even though the Cardinals are completely floundering and they're way back and they're not going to win it, they're still the Cardinals, and I would not bet on the Giants sweeping the Cardinals. Is there just, because they're the Cardinals. That's about all you can say on that.
And they have an endless farm system. It's just like it's Old Faithful. The geyser goes off every couple of weeks. They bring up some new prospect. Hey, you're talking about New York media and the pressure on being a skipper in the Big Apple, and you wrote a brilliant column in today's Green Sheet, Bruce, just talking about the difference between Bruce Bochy and Terry Collins. And, boy, he's been kind of off-kilter all year, just chewing out and embarrassing his head PR guy that's been there forever, Bruce.
Yeah, that was the worst.
And embarrassing his team. And baseball is a different sport than football. They're not going to take kindly to you just undressing them in public like that. But what about Joe Girardi Friday just being emotional after kind of dissing A-Rod? Bruce, I'd just like to get all your thoughts on A-Rod's final turn in the pinstripes, at least in terms of being a player.
Well, I mean, there's so much there. I mean, yeah, he and Girardi were really at odds there for quite a while, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is A-Rod. This is a guy. He sued everybody but you, Pecan. He sued. He sued the Yanks. He sued the Union. You know, he sued the president. He sued the White House.
Yep.
And you know, there's only so much you can take of this guy. And when he's not producing, you know, Girardi didn't want to play him anywhere but DH when he played him at all.
Yeah.
And A-Rod wanted to play somewhere, and Girardi wouldn't have it. But you know what? After all that they went through, and it was a real emotional ringer for Girardi. You know, on the final night, he got very emotional about it. It had been really tough on him. He didn't know quite how to handle it. He knew that, you know, A-Rod's, for all of his emotional problems, and he's so not a genuine guy, was one of the greatest players of all time, just flat out, period, not even close. The numbers say an awful lot, but if you saw him in his prime, you remember what a great player he was. So there's all this stuff swirling around at Yankee Stadium. And then it rains about 5 minutes into the pregame tribute, just pouring like hell.
Yeah.
I mean, seemed like there was some kind of symbolism there.
Did you see the New York Post headline?
Yep.
No.
God hates A-Rod.
Subtle as always, the Post with a subtle little needle there.
That was great. All right.
Oh, man.
Boy, what a weekend. Well, look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark this week. And as I say, Pirates, Mets coming in, it was important, but I think it has more significance because these teams could all see each other when it's all said and done. So we'll see what they got.
Yeah, well, I hope. I don't know when Cespedes is back. Is he going to be back for this?
Friday, they said.
Friday?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Mets are always entertaining. There's always something going on there.
Oh, yeah.
With the Mets, and they're going to have a lot of fans in the stands, the transplanted New Yorkers. It'll be great. It'll be great ball. And then the Pirates aren't laying down for anybody. They still have a shot at the wild card.
Oh,
so
they
it'll
do.
Be great.
I think they're the favorite, to tell you the truth, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, who knows?
Zach Greinke today, Bruce, we'll leave you with this. 1 2/3, 10 hits, 9 runs, 9
Ooh.
Earned. No walks, 3 strikeouts, 43 pitches, and I guess
Whoa.
The Red Sox saw enough, and they whacked him all over
wow.
the place. How about that?
Jeez, yeah. He's had an interesting year. I mean, you know, the Dodgers have gone back and forth between, oh, man, what are we thinking? And, well, maybe he's at the twilight of his career, but, oh, he has a revival, and then you get something like today. I mean, I don't know what's going on with his arm. Or,
gotta be
you never really know what's going on with him anyway. He's he's a mysterious cat. But we'll see how it goes. The Diamondbacks are just an eternal mess this season. I mean, just one thing after another. Dave Stewart's pulling out what little hair he has left, and La Russa's, I'm sure, is fuming. And you know, they traded for Shelby Miller, and they gave away a bunch of prospects. And Shelby Miller, they wanted to trade. They sent him to the minors. I mean, nothing's going right for that team.
Well, all right, Bruce. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Talk to you then, guys.
That was the wonderful Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle.